Hey friends, welcome to The Drivecast, a daily podcast designed to help us read it in, pray it up, and live it out. My name's Dan, and I serve as the teaching pastor for our Worthington campus. I am so glad you're starting your day with us today. You know, there is a distinct danger we face every December. It's the danger of familiarity. The Christmas narrative is so pervasive. It's in our songs, our front yards, and on our greeting cards that it often rolls off our tongues as if nothing were amiss. We hear it recited year after year after year until it somehow becomes manageable, tame, and frankly, less remarkable. But if we slow down and actually look at the passages as it's retold in the scriptures, we realize there is nothing tame about this story. It's a narrative of cosmic disruption. It involves ancient prophecies, political paranoia, celestial navigation, and foreign dignitaries risking their reputations to find a king who would threaten the status quo of the entire world. Today, we're going to look at the visit of the Magi. And my hope is that we can strip away the layers of nativity scene sentimentality and see the raw, subversive power of what it means to worship this king. So if you're driving, keep your eyes on the road, but let's turn our hearts and minds towards Matthew chapter 2. If you've got a Bible with you, you can follow along with me there, starting in verse 1 all the way through verse 12. I'm going to read from the ESV. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. And they told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it was written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him." After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshiped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. All right, let's sit with that image for a moment. We have the hand of God moving across the cosmos, placing a celestial sign in the sky, launching these foreign ambassadors on a quest. Like, this wasn't just a weekend trip. This was a long, arduous journey. It required patience. It required a kind of unhurried observation that seems so foreign to us in our own fast-paced culture. While the religious elite in Jerusalem were busy with their texts and their politics, unaware of what was happening 5 miles down the road in Bethlehem, these outsiders were the ones paying attention. They were awake to the realities of God while the rest of the world slept. The image, the moment, imagine the moment the star stopped. The text says they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy, right? And that phrasing is emphatic. It's like this overflow of emotion. But here's where the rubber meets the road. Verse 11 says, "And going into the house, they saw the child and they fell down and worshiped him." Don't miss the shock of this. These were dignified men, men of status, and they walk into a humble, likely poor peasant home. They don't see a warrior on a stallion. They see a toddler. And yet their response isn't skepticism. It's surrender. they fall down. This is the only appropriate response for those who have been pierced by the truth of who Jesus is. When you realize this, when you see him for what he is and who he is, that this isn't just a baby, but the one who holds the atomic structure of the universe together by the mere word of his power, the true king who has come to set the world right, you don't negotiate with him. You bow. The true beauty of this scene isn't actually the gold, the frankincense, or myrrh. The true beauty is the posture of the givers. It's the vulnerability of falling on the dirt floor. It's a heart that has been forever changed by encountering God in the flesh. See, we often think of worship as songs that we sing on Sunday. But here, worship is a political act, right? And that's jarring to think about it that way. It is the realignment of allegiance. By bowing to this child, the Magi are saying that Herod and the systems of power he represented were no longer the ultimate authority. All right, and that brings us to the gifts. They opened their treasures. In the same way, the king who left heaven's throne to walk among us is inviting us to open the treasury of our own lives. Like, he doesn't need our gold. He owns the cattle on a thousand hills, the psalmist says. Like, what he wants, though, is us. And Paul writes in Romans 12 about offering ourselves as a living sacrifice. That is exactly what the Magi are modeling. They don't offer a ritual animal sacrifice. They offered their presence, their journey, their resources. They offered their best, not out of religious duty, but out of love for the one who would eventually give everything for them. Now, let's move into a time of prayer. And I'd encourage you, even now, to check your own posture. Maybe unclench your hands from the steering wheel for a second. Don't let go, but loosen the grip or take a deep breath and let's begin to pray it up. Father, we confess that our eyes are often heavy. We get so used to the scenery of our faith that we miss the glory of it. Lord, open our eyes to the wonder of your coming. Help us never grow numb to the subversiveness and beauty of the Christmas story. Fill our hearts with the same awe the Magi felt. Arrest our attention. Remind us of the staggering truth that you did not cling to your status in heaven, but you emptied yourself to dwell among us in the mess and the noise of our world. Jesus, just as the Magi laid their physical treasures before you, we want to lay the treasury of our own lives before you today. And Lord, we know that sometimes the gold that we hold on to isn't money, it's our control, our reputation, our anxiety, our own plans for the future. And so now, we lay those things down. Teach us what it means to be a living sacrifice. We want to give you our time, our gifts, our obedience, and our hearts, not so that we can get something from you, but because you are worthy of it all. Holy Spirit, transform our hearts by your presence. Let your worship or our worship move beyond words and songs into a life that is fully yielded to you. May everything we do today, whether we are in a boardroom, a classroom, or a living room, reflect the love and humility of Jesus, who first gave himself for us. So, finally, how do we take this from just a podcast we're listening to into our regular everyday lives? How do we live this out? Well, the Magi went home by another way. They were changed. You cannot encounter Jesus and go back to business as usual. This week, I want to challenge you to find one tangible way to offer your life back to God as worship. I want you to be creative. Offering your life may mean financial generosity, sure, but it might also look like forgiving someone who has deeply hurt you. Like, that is a costly gift. It might mean serving someone in need when you are exhausted and would rather be served. Or maybe in the spirit of the Magi's long journey, your act of worship this week is simply to slow down, to set aside 15, 20 minutes to be still before Him. To turn off your phone, ignore the notifications, and gaze at the King. Whatever it is, let your actions today reflect a heart that belongs fully to Jesus. That is the greatest gift you can give this season. Friends, thanks for tuning into the Drivecast. We'll see you back here tomorrow.